Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Certainly a happy team at Hawthorne, and a happy team is leading to some very exciting results. The Brown and Gold are into a semi-final and expected to win their way at least into a prelim. A situation that not even the most optimistic Hawks fan could have predicted in April when they started the season 0-5. Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Bellairs, and today on the show, Glenn McFarlane will join me to talk all things Hawthorne as the juggernaut looks almost unstoppable. And for every Hawks, there's a Blues. Macca will also talk to us about how Carlton's finals hopes disappeared in a quarter of footy. Here's Macca. Well, it's all about the Hawks. I've been trying not to say that all year, but now in Melbourne, you can't escape it. Glenn McFarlane joins me. G'day, Macca.
Andy, how are you?
I'm really well. And if you're a Hawthorne supporter, you're 10 times better than I am. And if you're a Hawthorne player, you're 100 times better than I am because they seem to be having the best time.
I was just trying to look at the actual year on the newspaper, and I thought it said 2008 for a minute because got that sort of feeling, yeah. Hasn't it? So not 2024, but they have been extraordinary, haven't they? They have captivated the AFL finals, if you look at it. There were, there's one amazing game in Sydney last week, but I think Hawthorne is the story of the finals so far.
Well, I mean, as a football fan over a number of years, you know, there are plenty of things that are unorthodox in footy. Yep. There are things that you don't think are going to happen and they do, yeah. But this is one thing that has completely flummoxed me because five rounds in, they looked in the bottom two and now they are, if they're not premiership favourites, but they're getting there.
Well, they're on their way, aren't they? And I expect them to win against Port Adelaide on Friday night. And you think about that back to round, when, they lose their first five games and Sam Mitchell's not looking the happiest camper then. I can tell you, you don't want to get Sam upset. But in that sense, like, they have been outstanding. They've found players. They've found players where they've got, guys they've got from nowhere in a sense. Like, Cal Shadir was meant to be a project player. Mm. And he was the best player in terms of a key forward on the ground last Friday night. And you think there's some pretty important key players out there.
Oh, yeah.
Down the other end, you had Jamara, you had Sam Darcy, you had, there's others, Aaron Norton there as well. And Cal Shadir was doing it. He's played 16 games.
So you've got three players up the other end, two in the top two of the draft. Yep. Aaron Norton's top 15 or whatever it was. They're all credentialed forwards. You've got Cal Shadir down the other end, who many thought that, he was one of the last picks in the draft.
Absolutely.
He was a father-son pick.
Father-son.
It was a wonderful story for Hawthorne, but he was 2 or 3 years away. He's at 19 years old, and he's looking like Wayne Carey.
Oh, he's outstanding and a really good kid too. Let me tell you, I did a story on, before he played a game earlier this year, when the Hawks were doing the game against Geelong for pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. Of course, he lost his father, the Norm Smith medalist, Paul Deer, a couple of years ago, and spoke to him. He was very quiet in the car park of the MCG, And there he was out there on the stage. There was no deer in the headlights there. It was the dog's deer in the headlights, wasn't it, in a lot of ways? And, to be able to do that, and also their canny recruiting, what they've been able to do with getting players from other clubs, but also get players in from other parts of the system have been extraordinary.
And it feels like the momentum is unstoppable in some ways, that because of this, how unlikely the thrust has been for the last 4 months. You can't see how it can ever come to an end without a premiership cup in there.
Is this 1993 the Baby Bombers all over again? I think that was one that jumped out of the box. There were a few that had jumped out. The Bulldogs jumped out of the box, didn't they, in 2016? This is one of those years that you could actually jump out of the box. Not going to be easy. I don't expect it to be easy on Friday night, but I do think they'll win.
Yeah. So you mentioned Sam Mitchell, and And all the talk around the Hawks is they're having fun on the field, they're larrikins, they're being a bit cheeky, their celebrations of goal. Sam Mitchell wasn't that
That's
player.
That's not Sam Mitchell.
That was the opposite
it?
Of what Sam Mitchell was. So how does he, you know, how does he sit up there in the box? I guess winning helps.
It does. There's no doubt. I had a really good chat to Shane Crawford yesterday, who knows Sam really well, still speaks to Sam all the time. And he was sort of suggesting this is, you know, this is not Sam, but what Sam is a competitor. And he knows that by allowing the players the freedom that they've actually got now, it actually is good for their, you know, their own belief. And but you got to keep winning if that's the case. That can change pretty quickly if you lose. So you've got to give him full credit, don't you? Like, and you've also got to give. You go back. I was at the famous media briefing when there was the handover. it was meant to be, handy handover in the sense it was all sweet going on, but it wasn't.
You could tell from
the moment you walked in the room that it wasn't sweet between Clarko and Sam. But from that moment on, you think. They knew what they were doing, didn't they? This guy's an absolute genius. He could have been coaching Collingwood. There was a, you know, if Hawthorn didn't make that move, the swings and roundabouts of history, and Craig McRae might have then been coaching Hawthorn. It's the swings and roundabouts of history, and
it's crazy,
what he's done has been quite remarkable. And their form line is as good as anyone's, and they can win it. Don't make no mistake, they can win it.
Yeah, they're going to have to come up against some pretty sort of hard-bodied and well-drilled teams in Geelong and Sydney possibly along the way. Momentum will and confidence and all of the things and not having that sort of fear of failure because they hadn't been there before. So I think you know, who could go all the way. You mentioned 2008.
Yeah.
Just wondering who the Stuart Jew is in this Hawthorn team.
Yes, is there a Stewie Jew? Like, it's a very good point because you look back at that. And again, in a similar way, they were able to get people and to get players into that team who came from different routes. And Stewie Jew came from, he was probably 20 kilos heavier. Yeah. And like, Clarko had to fight tooth and nail to get him on the list there. And he was about to get, you know, taken off for a rest in that third quarter. Mm. And he stayed on the ground and then changed the course of that game.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Did.
And a bloke called Cyril Rioli went all right in that particular stage as well. And they had some good players. But I think for the future, the way they're set up, and it's never a guarantee. We're talking about 2024 now. What happens in 2025, 26, 27 is never a guarantee.
No.
You get different draws, you get injuries. And they're starting to get a few little injuries late now. But, gee, there's a big future there, I think.
Yeah, I feel for Sam Frost because,
absolutely.
You know, he came through at Melbourne. He played through that 2018 final series. Mm. They identified that his role was one of those that was left wanting. So they came, they brought these highly expensive players. He was surplus to requirements, but he's turned himself around and he's been one of the stories of this Hawthorn run.
He
so
sure
it's
has.
A real shame.
It is a real shame, and it's going to be hard to replace him. That's the thing. And, you know, I'm sure they'd wish they could get Tom Barras into that team now or Josh Battle
Josh
into
Battle
the team
well,
now, wouldn't
it?
It'd be handy. But they're going to have to try and find a different way. They've got a few options they're looking at the moment. So I think they've got enough depth to cover it. But, gee, he's been really important player, Frost, hasn't he?
He has. At the other end is Jack Ginnivan. And we mentioned they're having fun and being cheeky. And we all knew, you know, Ginnivan burst onto the scene at Collingwood being exactly that player. And he hasn't changed having moved clubs. And, you know, he went to the pub last week before he played in the game. And, you know, all that sort of thing. It's a really interesting how he's got a millennial sensibility, but he carries himself like a 70s or 80s player. Without social media.
He does. Imagine the social media around in the 70s and 80s. Oh, my goodness me. That would have been a real concern. But you know what? I've probably changed my view on this a little bit. Maybe I'm maturing a little bit. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with it? Having a bit of fun. This is the way he's become the player that he... And he's a very different player than he was at Collingwood. He's delivering on the field. Not that he didn't at Collingwood, but
he could be a bit player at Collingwood.
And he's much more than that now. Yeah. And there was a stage last week where I absolutely loved it. He's steaming in towards goal. It's late in the, you know, in a quarter, and he looks across, and I think it was the third quarter, actually. He looks across, and normally Jack Ginnivan in black and white would be slotting it through the middle or trying to. He saw the wizard, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to pass this off. So on the field, he's doing all the right team things. Off the field, he's being Jack Ginnivan.
Yeah.
And I think while the Hawks would love him to just temper some little bits, I don't have too many problems with
him. No. Well, I will say, we'll pull you up on one thing, Mick. Yes. Jeff Farmer will always be my wizard.
There you go. There's the other wizard. So there is a new wizard in town. Well, so the millennial wizard, but yeah, you're right. And I think Warwick Kappa likes to call himself the original wizard.
Well, he called himself the wizard. Yes, kick it to the wiz. The wiz will do the rest.
He still does, the wiz. So, no, Jeff Farmer, he's got a fair bit to go, Nick Watson, to get to Jeff Farmer. But you know what? He looks pretty darn good at the moment.
We were talking about greatest finals performances in the office yesterday, and I had to bring up, because a lot of people forget, Jeff Farmer kicked 8 goals in a prelim in the year 2000. He was one hell of a small forward. He was incredible.
No, he's a really good player, can do it, you know, on the ground, in the air. He just had so many attributes. And I'm not sure whether Nick Watson's ever going to get up as high as Jeff Farmer, but he's going to give some, some fun over the next few years.
Can play the kid. So the Hawks up against Port. Yep. It'll be something to watch.
Sure will.
It'll be very exciting.
And there's a lot of pressure on Port. So much pressure on Port, if you look at it. And Ken Hinckley, what happens if they're another straight sets exit, which it's become, a bit of a habit at the moment for Port Adelaide. And we know he's got a year to run on his contract. We know that Josh Carr's there sitting waiting in the wings if it comes up. It's going to be fascinating watching and viewing, and I'm looking forward to Friday night.
Well, at least Port got a second chance, because there are two teams who didn't. They went out in the first week. Let's take a break, come back and talk about that first half in Brisbane at the Gabba.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, I'm Andy Belairs. I'm joined by Glenn McFarlane. Macca, we talked the good news story. We talked the Hawks. Let's talk the Blues.
Oh, no. Do we have to?
Let's talk 5 minutes to go in the second quarter at the Gabba on Saturday night.
It's not very often you're watching a final and you're getting out your history books trying to work out what's going on, because it wasn't until the end of that first quarter that you think North Melbourne in 1974 was the last team 50 years to not score in a quarter. And then I was thinking, who's the last team to not score in a half or not kick a goal in a half? They were in massive trouble. Yeah. They just got so much wrong, Andy. Selection-wise, I think if they had their time over again, they'd make some really different decisions in terms of – and I get the fact that everyone's going to say, Michael Voss said that, Tom Ticone could only play 60, 70 minutes. But I think I would have preferred him to start the game.
Yeah.
And I think they changed. Once he came on, there was a new sense of energy out there on the field. That's what he does.
Yeah.
That's what TDK does. He does do amazing things in terms of lifting the energy.
But there are things that you can do with a player who isn't as mobile. You could stick him in the goal square. I mean, he's still very tall and stick his arms up and take a mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a curious decision.
Well, I just think that they realised they're in trouble. Like, all week they talked up, we're going to be okay, we can get it back. But if you go back at all the teams in the finals, the 8 of them, and you look at their last, 4, 6, 8 weeks, Carlton was the one that was the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so it proved. When you've got the September lights on you, they shine pretty brightly if you're not up to the challenge. And they weren't. So they've got a bit of soul searching to do now. It doesn't impact on the list. The list is still quite good, but there'll be some changes to it. And they're obviously eyeing Dan Houston. He'd be a really good addition to that list as well. But it's going to be a long, hot summer for the Blues, I think.
And not just the Blues. We've spent plenty of column inches talking about the travails at, what do we say? We say at Casey? Is that where the D's live? No, at Melbourne anyway.
Not sure where the D's live at the moment. They're still trying to sort that out,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes, yeah, well, that's been going on for a long time. Might be down at Caulfield Racecourse, but who knows? So the D's, they got the good news with Christian Petrarca. Mm. The news has come out also that has cleared their medical team of wrongdoing or negligence or anything like that. They couldn't have done anything more, which is another good news story for the D's.
It is important. It won't repair some of the damage. There's a bit of damage there and there's a lot of repairing to do from that. But it's a step forward. And to see him out there in the club polo and that on the weekend, I know it was a bit stage managed.
But he still
had to go. Yeah. I think it's an important step forward. There's obviously a review going on with Melbourne now. We've had a few reviews in recent times. times, haven't we, with the Demons?
We have. But,
And no Stephen Smith, which is interesting. I thought that was an interesting scenario.
I think the way that it was sold seems pretty reasonable. You know, he's come out of a long career as a partner at a law firm and wanted to do some travelling. I mean, it makes sense, mate. Yeah. You know, so
I'd be trying to get him in at some stage.
Yeah, I would too. He seems like he would be a calming influence. And I know he was a wonderful president of the MCC as well.
Yeah, he was, absolutely. And Brad Green gets a chance now. I think that it was something that had to happen, that it needed to be changed there. If you speak to some people there, Kate's done some really good things, Kate Roffey, but I don't think she was ever going to survive after the interview on radio, and maybe someone needed to make way in terms of the way forward. They've got a lot of work to do. I love the fact that Max Gawn says, we've got a lot of work to do. Yeah. We're going to get to work. So I think, again, like the Blues, it'll be a long, hot summer for the Demons.
Well, as long as, you know, they stay fit and you've got Clayton Oliver in a preseason, having missed all of last, and, you know, as Christian Petrarca keeps getting better and maybe they can bring someone in, who knows?
Well, that's it. That's the key, isn't it? Try and bring a couple of players in. And I think what they did do, they found a couple of kids out of necessity, in a sense. They found a couple of kids. So I don't think they're going to, you know, already they've fallen down the ladder, but I don't think they're going to fall any further.
And putting my Demons, Nuffy Demons hat on, when you look
he's
at the top.
He's got one on too, absolutely. He's got one. I can see it here.
When you go to, you see, look at the top eight, and Melbourne beat four of the top eight. And they lost by another three of their top eight by under a goal in the season.
So that does say that everything is, I mean, I think they've got to work on some things to, you know, make the harmony a little better. But I think footy-wise, if they can bring a couple in, and importantly, if they can get Petrarca and Oliver fit, Gawn has a, you know, a reasonable run through the year. I still think they're a chance to play finals next year. I don't think it's all doom and gloom for the Demons.
Phew, thanks, Macca. That makes me feel better.
I'll put my hat on now.
Hey, Macca, thank you again. We'll talk to you again.
Pleasure.
Soon.
Thanks, Andy.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belez, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for Moneyball on Wednesday morning. Mick McGowan will preview each of the finals. We'll have live coverage of both games. And of course, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next week.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's UPWORK.com/SAVE. Upwork.com/save.